On Wednesday's show, we were discussing the fact that County Sligo is now the only county in Ireland that still has not any access to abortion care and services. That's despite the change in legislation leading on from the referendum on the issue, the repeal of the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution back in 2018. The Sligo Action for Reproductive Rights Access Group, SARA, said that's unacceptable and have made a submission on the matter to the relevant body. Pegging Doyle of the group was on with us on the show on Wednesday.
It is a health service, it is a health system. And it's a health system that is required to be abided by under the legislation by people who are pregnant, who are looking for a termination. In other words, if you are looking for a termination of pregnancy, you are required under the legislation to go to a GP. So the law requires you to do that. So if no GP signs up, that puts that person, the patient, in a very difficult situation. So somewhere a resolution has to be found that also recognises the needs, the primary needs, we would say, of the pregnant person.
Well, on the line now with an entirely different take on this is Sheila Quinlan. Sheila was on the No campaign side in that referendum. She was a spokesperson at the time for the Sligo Pro-Life campaign. Sheila, good morning to you.
Good morning, Niall. How are
you? Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say in relation to this?
Well, first of all, I suppose I welcome the opportunity to bring some balance to this discussion. I certainly don't speak for all GPs when I come on this morning. I am a spokesperson for the Pro-Life campaign. But I think it's important to acknowledge that there are a number of reasons why currently we have 1 in 10 doctors in Ireland that are participating in the new regime that permits abortion. And there are a number of reasons why, you know, doctors do not want to participate in the abortion regime, and I think it's very important.
What evidence do you have of that? How do you know that's the case?
Well, I mean, it's on public record. I mean, it's on public record that 1 in 10 doctors in Ireland are currently participating in the regime. That information is readily available.
Yeah, but what I mean is, you think they're doing so because it's a conscientious matter on the GP's behalf?
Well, what I would say, yeah, absolutely. There are a number of reasons. Conscientious is one. I know that speaking to many GPs, it's based on, you know, a belief system. It's based on evidence-based medicine. They don't regard abortion as healthcare. And, you know, they believe their jobs as doctors is to heal and not to harm. And I think, you know, most people understand and respect the fact that
That's very anecdotal, Sheila. And as you say, you're not a spokesperson for the GPs or don't assume to be.
Absolutely. But the facts do remain that we do in Ireland currently only have 1 in every 10 doctors officially providing this service. And I know, you know, in my role with the Pro-Life campaign, I would speak to doctors, you know, on a very regular basis. And, you know, we do know, we all know many doctors in our life and in society that entered the practice and decided to become a doctor to heal rather than to harm. And, you know, these doctors are like everyone else. They're coming from, you know, their own professional experience.
Well, I'm sure the majority of doctors wouldn't see this as a form of harm in any shape or form. But other reasons being put forward are, and Pegging talked about it, number one, that there's not a robust enough referral system from hospitals, in this case Sligo University Hospital. And then there's the intimidation issue, because we've had protests outside GP clinics and surgeries. So maybe GPs are afraid
a number of the issues there, Niall. I mean, first of all, in the run-up to the referendum and before the actual rollout of the abortion regime in Ireland, you know, it's important to remind listeners that GPs were not, in fact, consulted prior to the government implementing a GP-led service. The GPs themselves were not asked their view on the matter. The Minister for Health at the time, Simon Harris, made some quite derogatory remarks with regards to GP practices in general. But what is very important is that, you know, they were not consulted prior to this. And Ireland is quite unique in the sense that in other countries there are abortion clinics rather than in Ireland, which is a GP-led service. But just to deal with the broader issue, Niall, on the issue of access, I think it's fair to say if we look back and if we're to have a really broad, and I think it's important when we talk about the issue of abortion, that we have a very broad conversation and that all sides are heard. So I welcome the fact that you have me on the programme this morning. But, you know, generally speaking, when we do hear a conversation around the issue of abortion in Ireland, particularly now after repeal and after the referendum, really we're only hearing one narrative, and that narrative is calling for greater access to abortion services and increased liberalisation.
Yeah, the narrative we hear, Sheila, is the law. I mean, the referendum is over. It's 4 years old now. We have legislation in place. So all this is legal.
Well, absolutely. Abortion is legal, but at the same time, during the referendum, people that campaigned to repeal the Eighth Amendment, and politicians sold to people the concept that abortion would be limited and rare. And yet, I suppose if we're to talk about what has happened in the last 3 years, we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of abortions in Ireland. In the first 2 years alone, from legislation being put into place, we've had over 13,000 abortions performed. And that's in the first 2 years. So that would be a 70% increase in the rate of abortion in Ireland. So, you know, when we talk about access, you know, I live in Sligo myself. And if we're to be really, really honest about this, you don't have to travel too far to be able to access an abortion if you're living in County Sligo. You know, you're talking possibly maximum a 40-minute drive.
Yeah, but why should you have to travel? Why should you have to travel if the people voted to provide services locally?
Well, I mean, we travel very, very sadly. People travelling to receive, you know, life-saving treatment like cancer services, etc., have to travel much, much, much further than that, as you know, and have highlighted many times on your programme, Niall. But what we are talking about here is those that are campaigning, and pro-choice campaigners, pro-abortion campaigners, realistically, they would like to see abortion services, you know, on every street corner in Ireland. And, you know, we have to find the middle ground here. And the middle ground is, as a society, we should be talking about ways to support women and ways of reducing the number of abortions in Ireland, rather than talking about making it more easily accessible and more available. And the reality is that those that are campaigning for abortion services in Ireland, there is no number that is too high for them. That is the reality.
I don't think you can say that. They're campaigning in accordance with the democratic wishes of the majority of people in this country, Sheila. That's the bottom line.
Yes, we had 2/3 of the population that voted to legalise abortion in Ireland, but they were promised at the time that it would be restrictive. They were promised at the time that it would be rare. And yet, as I said earlier, you know, we've seen a 70% increase just in the first 2 years of the abortion legislation coming into pass. You know, Niall, we've also seen €20 million of taxpayers' money spent on providing abortion services in Ireland, and yet not €1 has been spent on providing real and positive alternatives to women who would like to continue with their pregnancy. Your speaker mentioned the My Options helpline the other day, and she mentioned it a number of times in sort of very glowing terms. I mean, the reality is on the ground that My Options helpline, which calls itself an unplanned counselling service, in reality, if a woman rings up that pregnancy helpline facing an unplanned pregnancy and in any way conflicted or undecided on the issue, she will receive they're really offering one option and one option only, which is, you know, names and numbers of GPs.
Okay.
There's very little counselling support services for women who want to continue with their pregnancy,
just,
and those women should be supported.
Well, just on a final point, I'll come back to what Sarah, the Sligo group, were talking about on Wednesday in the show. At the end of the day, whether you agree with it or not, it is a health service that should and is expected to be provided under legislation arising from the vote of 2018.
Well, you know, we hear pro-choice campaigners, we hear the government, and we hear this line continuously that abortion is healthcare. We will always dispute that fact. that healthcare, that abortion is not healthcare, and very, very sadly, it, you know, certainly harms the life of the unborn whose life is tragically ended, and many women suffer as a result of deciding to proceed with an abortion also, and their voices need to be heard as well. Okay. Now.